chapter of the book of Exodus in conjunction with what I said this morning in regard to Noah and his household. When Noah went into the ark and his sons, or and his wife and his sons and their wives, now they did not escape the judgment of God. The judgment of God fell upon the ark, and they was in the ark. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that is the solution to the problem. The judgment of God fell upon the ark, and they was inside the ark, safe and secure, as safe as God could make them safe. They enjoyed that safety in the ark. And when Christ died on that tree, the fulfillment of the stipulations of the covenant, satisfying the justice of God, the wrath of God fell on Him, our substitute, and we was in Him. So, we did not escape. We were in Him, and the judgment of God fell on Him, and He drank the bitter dregs of that cup to the last drop. And this is what happened here in the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus. It says, in the 4th verse, this was, I think, about the last of the plagues that fell on Pharaoh. The last of the plagues. And it had to do with death. And the wages of sin is death. So sin's involved here. And he said, after the last of the plagues that fell upon Pharaoh, and Pharaoh refused to yield or hearken to the command of God through God's servant Moses, he said, I will then, verse 4, I will, thus saith the Lord, about midnight. Now, this is not Moses. When it says, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. He's not talking about Moses going out in the, about midnight in the midst of Egypt. He's talking about the executioner of God's judgment, God Himself. About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Now that creates a problem there. Because Israel is in the land of Egypt. And he doesn't say that all the firstborn in Egypt shall die, but all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. All of them. That includes the Israelites as well as the firstborn of the Egyptians. All that dwells, every firstborn in the land, death's going to come to their house. Well, there's the problem. Down here he says in verse 7, it said, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. He said they're all going to die in the land of Egypt. Everybody that's in the land of Egypt, the firstborn, is going to die. And that doesn't exclude the firstborn of the Israelites. They're in the land. But here he says, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, what is that difference? If we find out what that difference is, that's a solution to the problem. The difference is the substitute. The difference is the blood of the Lamb. You see, when that fella caught the lamb up, the spotless lamb without blemish, and cut his throat and caught the blood and took the brush and dipped it in the blood and painted the overhead and the sides of the doorpost and went inside, when the executioner of God's judgment came by, he wouldn't enter into that house that had the blood on the door. Why? Because death had already done its work in the substitute. See that? In the substitute. Now, it wouldn't have done the head of the house any good if he would have caught up the blood in the basin and stood by and admired the blood. He could have looked at the blood from Nile Doomsday, but it wouldn't have saved him from the executioner of judgment. He's got to put the blood overhead on the top of the door and on the sides. And then he's got to go inside. And when God comes by and his eye is fastened on the blood, he'll know that death has already done its work. That the judgment of God fell on the substitute. So now it won't fall upon the occupants of the house of the blood of the substitute. Well, when he saw the blood, and I've insisted many times, and hope you'll remember it because it's a truth that'll help you over and over and over, and you'll thank God for it on your dying day. It's when he sees the blood. It's the value that he places upon the blood. Though the blood is precious to us, and we appreciate and cannot in any way tell of the value of that blood. But it's when he sees, he sees it. He knows that death has done its work. So when this death angel, when this executioner of God's judgment saw the blood upon the houses of the Israelites, he entered not. Why? Because death had already done its work. The innocent had died in the place of the guilty. The innocent lamb, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, "Behold, Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Here's the lamb. Here's the lamb. This is the basis. This is the basis of God's forgiveness, and God's pardon, God's peace, God's righteousness. The basis is the blood. Blood of the lamb. So the innocent had died in the place of the guilty. And justice was satisfied. Justice is satisfied now because the judgment of God fell upon the innocent lamb. The innocent lamb bore that which was due the sinner. Now, to punish twice for the same crime would be unjust. Contrary to everything written in the Bible. So now it's not merely God's mercy, but his righteousness, which is now on our side, and justice then demands the acquittal of every believing sinner. Justice says, let him go. He can't hold him. Justice has been satisfied. Wages of sin is death. And our substitute died death and bore the penalty that was due every one of us as believing sinners. Fulfilled all of our need. And all we need as ruined sinners, we find in the provision that God provided in the person of His Son. Now with that said, turn back there with me to the book of Genesis one more time. Let me have a few more thoughts in regard to what we said this morning. In Genesis chapter 7, I believe. Chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thy house in the ark. Come on in the ark, all of you. Whole shooting match. Now, when Noah came into the ark, he was never to go out again. Think of that. When Noah came in the ark is Christ. The ark is a place of safety, a place of peace, a place of protection, a place of joy, a place of happiness. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's heaven. It's heaven. That's what heaven is. And when you go in the ark, you never come out again. See, he's not going in there just to make a visit. Not just going in there for 15 or 20 minutes to make a visit. To sit around and talk a little bit and smoke his pipe and when he's pacified, get up and leave. No, when he goes in the ark, he never comes out again. He never comes out until the ark is finished. He was to be shut in. And he was to be in that ark as long as that ark lasted. That's how long he was to stay. Now, if you think, if you imagine that you can take up religion and put it down again, that is, if you think you can be a believer one day and an unbeliever tomorrow, then you don't know anything. You don't know the ABCs about the grace of God. Because the grace of God begets a life. A life, and that life is incorruptible, and that life abideth forever. He who really, honestly, and truly belongs to Jesus Christ is like Noah in that ark. He is shut in by God's own hand. God said, go in, and when he went in, and his family, God shut the door. The Bible says, none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand which gave them me, for my Father is greater than all. Man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ just as Noah came to the ark, in the ark. He comes to be married to him. The Bible says there in the book of Romans that we're married to another, even the Lord Jesus. And when a man comes to Christ, he's married to Christ. And he takes him to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for sickness, and in health, and death itself shall not separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He goes in that ark, he's in to stay. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Who invade the ark and tear the door of the ark down and snatch us out? Who can do that? Nobody. When God shuts the door is shut. Noah, according to the Lord's command, according to God Almighty's command, must come in at once. He must come now. It's not, I'll think about it. Well, give me 24 hours or next week or next month. He must come now. Listen, it says in verse 4 of that 7th chapter, he tells him in verse 1, come thou and all thy house into the ark, and every clean beast, and the fowls of the air, and so forth, to keep the seed alive upon the face of that. 4, come in now, for yet 7 days. In 7 days I'm going to do something. I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And when Noah heard that, he did according unto all that the Lord commanded. He came in the ark. He must come in. You see, there was a door to that ark, and that ark and that door was open. And we're not told. We're not told in the Bible that that this door had ever been shut since the ark was made. The door was always open. It stood wide open. We never hear in the Bible that anybody ever went in this ark and was driven back out. You don't hear that. The door was open. But one day the door is going to be shut and nobody can go in. And he says, 7 days I'm going to cause it to rain. And Noah did all that God commanded. He got in the ark. He got in the ark. He wasn't fooling around. And in the ark, I hope for somebody here tonight that God will disturb you and cause you some grief and anguish and excitement. And you'll get in the ark. You'll do what God commanded you to do. Huh? Oh, listen, so long as the door's open, whosoever come was welcome. As long as that door was open. I know no one came. And I know them 8 souls that did come, they only came by the grace of God. It was only because Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He didn't buy it. He found it. And where was it at? It was in the eyes of God. See, that's the only reason he came, by the grace of God. That's the only reason anybody will come, by the grace of God. It's when that spatial inward call comes and pierces a man's heart, makes it bleed, and kills him, and brings him down to the dust and shuts him up, and he's got no hope in himself or in his works, in his rituals, in his baptism, in his Lord's Supper, or anything that he does religiously, and strips him of all of that and shows him his helplessness and hopelessness before God, and opens the door and says, there's the door. It's only then when that secret call comes, calls him by name and says, get thee up and away from thy kindred, go into the ark, that a man will get up and go. When the grace of God awakens him from this awful sleep, this sleep of death. Oh, yes. So long as the door was open, whosoever came was welcome. Welcome, sister. I heard Ralph Barnard said one time, he's up there in Canada, and he said that he told the pastor of the church, he said, well, I'm going this afternoon. He said, I'm going out and knock on some doors and invite people to church that nobody here to hear me. I come all the way from the south up here to preach and can't get a corporal's guard out to hear me. And he said, I'm going out there and knock on the door. And I said, all right, I'll go with you. They went around various places, and Rolf come to the little picket fence around the house there, the little picket gate on. He started opening up the gate and go up that house, and the pastor said, don't go up there, Mr. Barnard. Don't go up there. Oh, Rolf said, yes, I've got to go. He said, don't go up there. Why wouldn't I? You want me to go up there? He said, well, that woman there is a woman of ill repute. She's got a bad name and a bad character. Lots of things are said about her. She runs a bad house, and all said, you ought not to go up there. Don't go up there. Please don't go up there. And Barnard said he'd go. He went up and knocked on the door. And he told the woman, he said, I'm a preacher from down in the southern part of the United States come up here to preach the gospel. I'm down here at this church. I want you to come up. I want you to come to church tonight and hear me preach. And she said, I couldn't do that. Said they'd all faint and die down there if I come. He said, maybe they need to faint and die. I said, I want you to come. Promise me you'll come. And she said, I promise you I'll be there. Old Rolf said, that service started that night. He said they sang a couple of songs. And he said he looked out. And he said he seen this old harlot woman coming in. And she come up and sat down by herself. And said that there was a good crowd there that night. And said she sat there by herself. And he said, I preached and tried to preach. He said, I couldn't preach much, but I tried. And he said, I told what sinners they were. And I told them the provision that God made in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this woman come. Said, I looked down, said, there she come. Said, tears streaming down her face. And said, falling in the groping, holding on to the benches as she come up. And she got up there and said, I didn't know what to do. Neither did anybody else. But said, finally one stately old matron, old mother of Israel, stood up and she said, welcome, sister, welcome. My God, that's where it is. Welcome. The door's open. Welcome. God's not mad at you. Come on. That's what he's saying. Welcome, sister. He said, they began to sing and he said, there's a revival broke out in that place. Oh, listen to me now. Door's open. Door's open. And the last part of that text says, come thou, come thou, nor you come, and all the house. All of you, come on. Huh? How merciful God is. How good God is. Think of our children, don't you? Huh? And how wonderful God thinks of our children. Huh? Oh, He thinks of them far more than we do. The depths of His thought grows deeper and deeper than ours. Oh, I thank God that He'd save me. I thank God that He'd save me. Save me! God saved me years ago and has kept me saved up to this hour. Kept me saved. I didn't save myself and didn't keep myself saved. He did it all from first to last. And I thank the name of God for His grace, His power of grace to keep me saved all these years. Saved from myself. He saved me from myself as well as from hell. Hard to tell what I'd have been, where I'd have been, and what I'd have done if it had not been for the restraining grace of Almighty God that overpowered these awful lusts and desires of this natural man. Thank God that He saved me. Thank God that He saves all of you. And I thank God that He had a word from a wife. He had a word from a wife. And He had a word for some of my sons. A word from a wife and a word from my sons and a word from my daughters. Oh, listen. The Bible says here that Noah had three sons. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Three boys. I'll tell you, old Ham wasn't left out. He wasn't left out. I don't know much about old Japheth, the elder one. He's the oldest one of the bunch. I don't know much for him or I don't know much against him, but I know this much. He had enough faith to get in that ark. He had enough faith to get in that ark. Old Ham got in, old Shem got in, and old Japheth got in. They had that much faith. And I was reminded when I thought about this that there's a time in the New Testament when old Paul, that great preacher, his friend, brother, preacher Silas was put in jail. was the midnight hour. The angel came on and loosed the chains. And the jailer was scared to death, thought that they'd left the jail, escaped. He knew he was going to be held accountable. He jumped in there where there was, brought a light in. And they said, he's going to do himself in. And Paul and Silas told him, said, don't hurt yourself. Said, we're still here. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household. You know what he said? And thy household. Thank God he didn't forget our household. Now what have we up to this point so far? We have the call. The Lord effectually called Noah. And I say effectually because he came. That made it effectual. It's like the fellow, the old Scotchman said, a fellow borrowed money off of him one time over in Scotland. He borrowed so much, but he never paid him back. And he began to avoid him on his own street. He'd cross the street, avoid this fellow. And so finally one day, he ran into him face to face. The first thing the fellow said, the borrower, said to the lender, he said, are you going to drum me for the money that you owe me? Or the money that I owe you? And he said, no, I hadn't thought about it. And he said, well, do you believe in divine predestination, don't you? And he said, yeah. He said, well, do you believe that God predestinated me to give you that money this day? And the old preacher said, put it in my hand, then I'll tell you. Effectual. He's in there. That's effectual. Effectual call. He's in there. Shem and Ham and Japheth. Noah's wife. They're all in there. Effectual. Oh, they came all of them into the ark. Now, their obedience, I believe, was unquestioning. You don't find them asking anything at all about the reason for getting in the ark or the reason for the command of God to come down to the ark. They didn't. No. They came as they were told to do. They passed through the doorway. All of them. And all of them were in the ark. Need to quit asking questions. That's the problem with most people. Ask too many questions. And sometimes they get some answers. And every answer that they get to a question that they ask leads to more questions. Need to quit quibbling with God and quit asking questions and just do as a man's told, like these eight did. They did as they were told. He said, come thou. They entered into the ark asking questions. Everybody's asking questions. How much do you know and how much do you don't know? My God, if it all depended on how much I knowed, I'd never make it. I don't know much. I know him whom to know. Life eternal. I know him. I know what he demands. And I see all of the demands of God provided for me in the Son of God. And he bids me to come. And I come without question. And he's mine. And I'm his. And I quit asking questions a long time ago. You ever hear tell of a man who sat at the table and he couldn't eat what was before him, the meat that was prepared by the host of the house? He sat there, but he couldn't eat of that meat until he found out the pedigree of the cow from whom the meat came. You ever hear of a fellow like that? He didn't have much sense. Now, there's a poor man who was out there working in the field. He was out there hoeing corn, grubbing new ground, and he'd work like a dog. And when he came out of the field and entered into that room, he seen that table filled with meat and potatoes. And he sat down and ate them all up. Well, that man was asking questions. He is a smart fellow, wasn't he? He is a smart fellow. He didn't ask no questions. He didn't care what color the cow was. He didn't care what stock or brand, whether it was a Hereford or a Brahma bull or what it was. He didn't care. He just sat down and ate the meat and potatoes. Well, that guy was asking questions. Huh? So the Bible says all eight of them. They went in. And there was after they went in, there was a closed door between the family of Noah and the rest of the world. God shut the door. They was in the ark of safety, and the world was out there. And the world was about to perish. They went in to be the minority, and it wasn't long until they became the majority. Because God done away with the rest of them. You know, and I know, to get eight people to be of one mind is a difficult thing. Isn't that right? To get eight people to agree on going one place. There's not eight people here tonight that would agree. Let's go to Shoney's after this is over with. There'd be three of them and say, let's go to McDonald's. There'd be two of them say that, well, the Western Citizen's still open. You couldn't get eight people. God got eight people to be of one mind. They all agreed just that way without question or quibbling. Said, come down into the ark. Oh, listen. It's the truth, so help me God. They went. And they wound up. Where at? In the ark. In the walls of wood. They hid themselves in that ark. To Noah and family, this was this was the most important event that ever happened to them. They all together as one passed out of the world to find their refuge where God had provided it in that ark. It's a great day for Noah's family. It's a great day when men and women come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great day because it's their marriage day. Noah went in. That's right. Noah should have went in because Noah's the leader. Noah's the leader. He ought to go in. Does not the Bible say that the husband is the head of the household? Huh? The husband's the head of the household. And so Noah was the husband. He had a wife and three sons. And so Noah went in first. Whether Noah's wife comes in, or whether Ham or Shem or Japheth comes in, whoever stays out or whoever comes in, Noah comes in first. Noah came in first. Well, let me ask you this. Are you the father of the household? What are you? You the head of the household? You ought to come in. Have you come in? Have you grown sons and daughters? If you haven't went in, why do you expect them to go in? You wish they're godly? You wish they feared God? You wish they loved the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you entered in? Have you sold out? Have you pulled down the flag of rebellion and surrendered unto it and say, here, Lord, send me? You done that? Why do you expect them to do that? You're the head of the household. You got some sons and daughters. You don't expect them to do what you won't do? Well, maybe you're just talking a good game. Well, you said, I did, but you didn't. I go, but I don't go. Lots of people talk a good game. They carry their Bibles. They talk religiously. They abstain from this and abstain from that. But for the most part, all they're doing is building up a righteousness that they can rest in and refuse the rest and the righteousness provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, listen. You wish your family would fear God and love the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you expect it if you haven't? Listen to me now. This sensible question. If Noah hadn't gone into that ark, you reckon Ham, Shem, and Japheth would have? Huh? You reckon his wife would have went in? I don't know. I doubt it seriously. Huh? Noah went in, and his sons. Listen to me. A happy father is he who has sons and daughters. That trust his Lord. Happy are they. There's nothing under heaven on this earth that's better to a father or a mother's heart to know that their children is right with the Lord. What peace, my God, what peace. Satisfaction and joy that floods a man's soul when he knows his children and his wife and his sons and daughters have entered into the ark. Noah's wife? Never said much about her. She's 600 years old. You might call her the old lady. That's what Jack, my friend Jack, talks about his wife, he talks about the old lady. I never did like to hear people call their wife the old lady. Now, that's derogatory. That's not. But anyhow, if I called Noah's wife an old lady, I wouldn't be calling her an old lady in the sense that some men call their wives an old lady. Would have been, because she's 600 years old. She's an old lady. She's an old lady. She's about as old as you can get. 600 years old. But you know, that 600-year-old woman, when he said, come thou and all of thy house into the ark, she said, Noah, I'm going to follow you into that ark. And she went into that ark. And you know, she is saved. She is saved from the... If the flood that fell upon the all of those on the outside, if that is in type or an emblem of the wrath of God falling on Christ against sin, she is saved. She went into the ark. Huh? Noah's wife, 600 years old, the wife of the father of three sons. She comes into the ark. Then there's three girls. Daughters-in-law. And there's a little bit like old Ruth. She said, Naomi, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I'll live. Your God will be my God. And when you die, I'll die and be buried where you are. That's like that. So all of that whole family, they came in. Well, I can't make you come in. I don't want to make you come in. I want you to come willingly. I want you to choose to come in. And when you choose, purpose and the promise of the covenant. You didn't know anything about the covenant. It was unrevealed until he went to the altar. And the promise, the stipulations were all met. And he was saved forevermore. All by what? The grace of God. No one deserves anything. It's all by grace. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Pat, lead us in a hymn there, if you